You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we're here talking about Blue Crush. Yeah. We're just like all looking over at each other.
I was just looking at Andre, and I was waiting for him to say, the big game.
The big game.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Let's set this up real quick, because we have been talking about doing this film since probably May of 2016.
A long time. And that's like only the most recent official record of us talking about it. And we definitely talked about it.
Offline,
yeah.
So we know for sure that this has been kind of on the books for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're finally getting to it.
Was it worth it.
I had a good time.
I really genuinely enjoyed it.
It was a decent surf movie.
I just don't remember what initially prompted us. I think probably I was like,
Leanna, you wanted to watch it for some reason.
I don't remember what. There was definitely something that made me bring up Blue Crush for the first time, but the reason why I got passionate about it was because we realized Michelle Rodriguez was in it.
Yes,
that's it might have been that we were just looking at her IMDb page, and then we saw Blue Crush was listed, and I freaked out because I remember really enjoying Blue Crush when I was younger and had no idea that she was in it. And so for me, since it's no secret that all of us are very much obsessed with The Fast and the Furious, I felt that it would be fun to watch it under the premise that this was Letty's backstory.
And it totally works.
It did not disappoint. It totally fits
it. It fits.
Yeah.
Fates of the Furious coming out April 15th.
Yes. 14th. But yeah.
Testing my true
check yourself.
Fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even know what to say more than that. I guess let's set up the flip side of this.
Yeah, there was another party of Munch that got excited about Blue Crush for a different reason. Andre, would you like to tell us about that?
Sure. When Leanna was talking about it, she said, I knew nothing about the movie. I had not seen the cover of it, which makes it pretty clear what this movie is about. So she was talking about it and she said, the girl falls in love with this football player and his teammates are there. And I was like, I don't want to watch a football movie.
You did mention
this sounds.
Okay.
This sounds.
This is
I just
all coming
don't like
together
sports
in
movies.
My mind now.
Yeah, I definitely mentioned the football player.
Yeah,
and I probably assumed that you guys knew that Blue Crush was about surfing.
Yeah,
and
so
yes,
yeah, and so I did not explain that part of it, and instead talked about the football player, which would. Now that I realize now that neither of you had seen this movie before, can understand how you might have jumped to that conclusion. But more importantly, you stuck to that conclusion for
big game
a very long time.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing with sports movies. It's all about leading up to the big game, which this movie was about too. The big game just happened to be the surf championship instead of the championship football game.
And what a
that
game
was the whole
was.
Thing. I mean, it was a sports movie. It was structured like a sports movie. It was a sports movie.
Yeah.
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 So, not that far off.
We'll jump into more of, the details about the movie itself, because I think there's a lot to talk about, and I think there's a lot of things it does incredibly well, and a lot of things where it, doesn't stick the landing. But before that, let's jump into the food. Based off of the idea of this big game, we came up with a game day-themed menu. I think based off of tailgating foods or foods that we would want at a big game celebration.
Right.
Things like
a Sunday feast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Sunday feast.
Even though it's Saturday.
Yeah, but football's on Sunday. The big game's on Sunday.
I mean, there could be big games on Saturday.
College football's on Saturday.
Are those that big of a game?
Go Huskies.
Some people like college football more than NFL.
It's true. All right,
so the appetizer.
I will never understand those people.
Are we coming out as a blog that's
pro NFL?
I'm not going to jump on that. There's enough issues with the NFL on its own.
Yeah, I'm not going to go pro NFL.
But we
can
agree that we are all anti-college.
No. I don't think so.
We'll figure this out offline, and we'll have a firm stance on our next podcast.
One of my favorite front. Yeah, one of my favorite things on Twitter recently is just like needlessly commenting in on like food debate, like hot food debates, yeah. and saying that like, you know what? Munch is a ranch-only podcast.
Yeah.
yeah.
Get that blue cheese out of here, which yeah. was some contention last week. And then more recently, it was like, all right, pineapple on pizza?
I had it yesterday. I loved it.
Jeez. Wow, so good. Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought of you guys. Really ruined the unity yeah. of the blog over
we
there.
We went undecided on yeah. that. Like, okay, you could take it or leave it. Wasn't that your stance?
Yeah. I was on my phone and didn't want to type out my full thoughts on it, but since you're asking...
There is a forum.
There is a forum, yeah. so...
Speak your mind.
I will tell you, if I'm ordering a pizza, I will not put pineapple on it.
Uh-huh.
If there are other pizza options, I will choose the slices without pineapple. If I'm in a situation where there is free pizza, I have not had a meal, and the only pizza left has pineapple on it, I will eat that pizza. I am not above eating that pizza. Mm. But I will avoid it in all other circumstances.
But it's not like bad enough that you will specifically take off the pineapple pieces.
Oh, no, I take them off and eat them separately.
Separately?
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh.
Okay. But you can still taste it on the pizza. Like, yeah, you still totally know can. That there is fruit on a pizza.
Yeah, it works, though.
No, it doesn't. That's the thing.
Well, I think...
Like, I love grilled pineapple. Grilled pineapple is so great. Good.
Love pizza.
I'm fine with, like, cooked... fruits,
mm-hmm.
but then like as soon as you take pineapple, uh-huh. cut it up, and then put it on a pizza, I think it's the cheese.
It's the cheese that doesn't work for me because
no, that's
pineapple like and meat yeah. can work.
Yeah,
pineapple and meat can work, but pineapple and cheese,
it works. Yeah,
I think it's the tomato sauce for me. Like, there's a weird mixture, like the acidity of the pineapple and the acidity in the tomato sauce, like those kind of clash a little bit.
Or complement each also, other nicely.
Also, when I want a pizza,
yeah.
I kind of just want a salty pizza.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but the salty sweet's nice too.
Mm.
It's like salted caramel, you know? It's good.
Two very different things.
No, it's not. It's salty and sweet at the same time. And,
all right. Yeah. Well, this debate is going to rage on, but should we talk about the food?
Yeah,
on to the I would actually love to hear about the food because I was fortunate enough to eat it, but I did not cook any of it. So I just want to give a quick shout out to Munch the first. Men of Munch.
Yeah.
Well done.
Holding Thanks. It down.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was a really nice study break for me since I'm in the middle of finals right now.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Appetizer. What dish do you want to talk about, Andre?
Oh man, we kind of did. Sure, I'll talk about the appetizer.
Okay.
We did Brussels sprouts, roasted, and mixed them up with some apple and parsley and mint and lime juice.
Some walnuts.
Oh yeah, toasted walnuts. It was very tasty. Red chili peppers was that in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in it.
Did you say cheddar?
Oh, and then, no, some I did not. Cheddar. And then some white cheddar on top. Cougar yeah. Gold. It was quite
Where did
tasty.
You get that Cougar Gold?
From my mom.
Yeah. It was a gift.
It's from Louise.
It's, oh. And it's never yeah. going away.
Shout out
it's
to
so
Louise.
Much cheese.
Shout out to Louise.
It's a lot of cheese.
It's a lot of cheese.
Is it good cheese? I yeah. did. I never got good. Like a good bite of it.
Me neither. I forgot it was in it.
It I is. It is actually very good cheese. Like, it's very nice sliced and put on some crackers or even with some like preserves. Oh man, it is good cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, but, like, that was really good.
Yeah. It's, like, greens, but roasted, tasty.
Yeah,
like,
roasted Brussels sprouts are always top for me. Like, I can, like, one of my simplest dishes that I enjoy is just, like, throwing some Brussels sprouts in a pan with a little salt, pepper, and olive oil and, like, getting to that, like, nice crispiness on it where it's just, like, starting to get that burnt flavor on it. Ooh. Just really delicious.
Yeah, I'm really glad they're becoming...
And then you make artichokes in the bacon fat. Or not artichokes, Brussels sprouts.
Also
and then you
very
put the bacon
good.
In the Brussels sprouts.
Throw some pecans or walnuts in there.
Yep.
Mm. I haven't done that, but it sounds good.
That's next level.
Yeah.
Next time.
Nice.
For the next game.
Next big game.
Yeah, the next big game. So for the entree, what's more game day food than beer can chicken?
Other than Brussels sprouts, I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
I think chicken is like the primary protein of game day.
It's easy. Like chicken wings is kind of.
No.
No.
Get everything
out of here.
You need. Okay. You should just leave.
But
So, just kidding.
Okay. Andre just left the room.
Munch is down to two members now.
I'm back.
So okay. We made spicy beer can chicken, which is like, this recipe is absolutely incredible. You throw on a rub the night before, let it kind of marinate in its own spiciness for night. Then you throw it on top with a sauce consisting of some of that same spice rub, molasses, Tabasco, ketchup, Dijon mustard, salt, pepper, and then I feel like I'm missing one other thing. But that, like, that's what's in it, and
there's a solid sauce.
It comes out good. With like this very complex, just enough spice. Mm. You pour it over the moist chicken, and it's just really good.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it was nice. So
good. It's time consuming, but it's worth it.
Yeah,
it's really worth it.
Yeah.
We'll post that on our Pinterest page if you want to find that. Please find that and make it, because it is really good.
And you can feed a lot of people with it too. Yeah, that's one of the nice things about it.
Yes.
You could probably feed four people with it.
Yeah. We had a small chicken. It depends on the size of your chicken.
We did have a small chicken. That's true. And then for dessert, for the month of March, me, Ben, I'm kind of going sugarless for the month. So we had a lot of conversations about what we should do. Should we just make a normal dish and then Ben doesn't eat it? So we ultimately ended up deciding to get a healthy peanut butter cookie with kind of a garbanzo bean and oat base. That was really good.
Yeah, no I sugar. Have to say, there's no sugar in that.
Except in the maple syrup and the chocolate chips.
Yeah. So like, you have a more natural sugar.
Yeah.
But that was it, which is like very impressive. Like it was pretty good. I think we were all like, yeah, it was good.
It tastes like a healthy cookie. Like,
I didn't think it did. Okay. Like I thought the chickpeas made a really nice dense quality to it.
That, it wasn't overcooked either.
Yeah, it wasn't overcooked. So it was like, it still had a little bit of crispiness on the edges, not the way you would get with like butter.
Yeah.
But it was still satisfying, and in that like slightly undercooked center, you still got that gooey cookie and melty chocolate chips, because we did have chocolate chips in there.
Yeah.
I thought it was totally satisfying. I still felt like I had dessert. It's not like some desserts where you eat it and you're like, I feel like I just should have eaten something unhealthy because I still want dessert, because that was so unsatisfying. Like, those are the worst healthy desserts.
I think we should also make an actual skillet chocolate chip cookie at some point, though.
Did we even mention that? That we made this cookie in a skillet? It's like, it was a big skillet cookie. This is like an 8-inch cookie.
Yeah. 8, 10? It can be called a pizookie. I think it's like 8.
Okay. Yeah.
It can be called a pizookie.
Yeah.
Things like that. You throw some ice cream on it. It's a little gooey in the center, and then like you should just then take spoons and dig in. But we kind of portioned it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're being healthy.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Portions. But I think also at some point, if we do like High Times or Ridgemont High, which has like a stoner component to it, Fast Times.
Yes.
Like, yeah, Andre's been pushing for that for a while.
Yeah, or some other stoner film, we should make just like all out balls to the wall skillet cookie.
I'm down.
Okay.
Maybe we should do that next time we have game night, if we ever do that again.
Half baked cookie.
There you go.
That's
exactly it.
Yeah.
Good one.
And then for our dessert, our cocktail, which you normally think of beer for a big game.
Quite natural.
Yeah. So we wanted to roll with that a little bit, but didn't just want to take shots of a beer bottle. So we made what is called, which is like a very weird name, I might add.
Citrus
Hop, Skip, and Go Naked.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of felt like it fit in with Hawaii somehow.
Yeah.
Which is where the movie takes place. Like, it felt kind of like a, oh, someone's blowing up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's happening over here.
But it kind of felt like you would, like, hop, skip and like go skinny dipping in the ocean or something. I don't know. I felt like it fit in.
But it was really good. It was a citrus simple syrup, throw in some IPA, a little bit of citrus vodka, and then some grapefruit juice. And like the IPA really, the strength of the hops in the IPA really comes through. Mm-hmm. I would definitely cut down on the simple syrup a little bit, but it was really good. I would make that in the summer.
The grapefruit cuts the sugar a little bit, so.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it works.
And that's our food.
Yeah.
Drinking rules?
Yeah. So I actually came up with the drinking rules because I was the only person who had seen this movie.
Yeah.
But
something to be proud of.
But the men did come up with their own rule.
A shot rule.
But we can get to that later. Yeah. So my drinking rules were to drink every time you see someone stand up on a surfboard, drink every time you see someone wipe out, uh-huh. and drink every time Anne Marie, who is the main character, has a flashback.
That's like the whole movie.
Yeah, all three of those things happen a lot.
People stand up on surfboards often.
And the tough thing is, like, every time they stand up,
they also wipe out.
A lot of the time, it's they like also 50, wipe 50. Out.
Yeah. And that was why I picked those rules together, because I knew they're in the surfing scenes, they would hit hard and fast, but then you'd get a break.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great choice, but also when there's two people on screen at the same time and they both get up on the boards at the same time and they both wipe at the same time.
Are you supposed to just like drink two beers?
It just like adds.
How do you do it?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
You should basically just chug at that
point. Yeah.
So while we're on the topic of surfing.
Yes.
There are a lot of surf terms that come up in the movie that we didn't necessarily understand.
I understood all of them.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Great.
We got a master in surfing
yes.
terminology, Andre Wyatt.
Yeah.
Dr. Andre Wyatt.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, Doctor.
Sure. Hit me.
Okay. I'm curious, what is a cutback?
Cutback is when you're riding a wave, and
what kind of wave are we talking about?
Like a big monster killer, like big kahuna of a wave.
Yeah. Is that the technical term?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't ride it because you lost your board due to cutbacks at your company. So you just body surf it.
That's a rough
one.
Okay.
Cutback. Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't see the body surfing in this movie, but I believe
there weren't
you.
A whole lot of cutbacks in this movie.
Okay. Yeah. The economy was at a strong point, so everyone still had their board.
You and Marie see. Was struggling. We can admit that.
Yeah.
Okay, what about this one? A couple times, I've heard you use a few terms to describe waves, such as monster, big kahuna.
Uh-huh.
I've also heard double/triple overhead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Common term in the surfing industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, anytime you go out surfing, you're going to have overhead. Like, the gas it takes you to get to the wave, the fee you have to pay to the lifeguard to make sure you don't drown in case he has to run his jet ski, there's going to be overhead. If it's a really big wave, you're going to have to, like, pay a little bit more. You're going to have, like, a Michelle Rodriguez watcher, like, personal watcher out there on the wave. With you.
So, are you saying that people pay to surf, like there's a pay per wave type deal?
Oh. Yeah, it's a pay to win kind of game, really.
All right.
So, double, triple overhead, very dangerous waves where you need more backup, it costs you more to ride.
God, the economics of surfing are just fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What about snap up?
Snap up is, this is pretty rare, but it's when you're surfing and you're just riding a sick killer wave, and you aren't anymore because a shark snapped up your board.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, a great white.
That's really
usually
scary.
Usually it's great whites. They snap up the most.
They're
they
the
snap
ones.
Up the boards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last one.
Yep.
Back door.
Yeah, the back door is... That's one I think we didn't see actually come up in this movie. One woman is referred to as the queen of back door. And what that is when you're riding a wave and it's looking pretty gnarly, and you take the back door out, which is normally you're riding through a wave in one direction and it looks like it's closing in on that direction. You hop out the back door. You just hop out the other.
Oh,
direction.
Really?
Yeah, you turn around and go out of the wave the other way.
That's a really difficult maneuver.
Yeah, that's why we didn't see it in the movie. I don't think anyone was prepared to do it. Not in those big kahunas that we saw that's in the movie. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Doctor, it's been really great to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, I would love to know what your dissertation was on.
Yeah.
At some point. You don't have to go over here.
My paper was called Hanging 10. That was my dissertation.
That's good. Hanging 10. That's good.
Surprised it didn't come up in this movie. But now that I think about it, I wrote my paper in 2004. I don't think people were really hanging 10
before. Wow, you wrote that?
It was more like hanging 8 or 9 at most.
You wrote that when you were in high school?
He's impressive. He's an impressive
guy. Yeah, I've been shredding waves since I was 14, 15.
I mean, you were born in Hawaii.
Yes.
I guess it's not that surprising. Yeah,
that's where I learned the lingo.
All right. Well, mm-hmm.
Anyway. I hope that answered your questions.
To these questions?
No, well, I think Andre's been sufficient in his responses. Yeah.
I have answers to all of them up.
That's just fine.
If we need.
No, I think I have a pretty thorough understanding. Yeah.
I mean,
Andre.
Why would I question?
We have a doctor right here.
The surf doctor.
The surf doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously surfing happens in this movie. Should we talk about other stuff that happens?
Yeah, let's talk about some other stuff.
What else happens? Oh, yeah, there's a romance. Other than that, it's surfing.
So, I'm gonna say there were, like, two directors in this film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like this theory.
Yeah.
This is the Ben Mao.
There were three, but...
Two directors.
You start with your two, and I'll tell you who the third director was.
Oh, God.
Just one-upping me at every turn. All right, so two directors. One director comes from a background of extreme sports, knows the surfing scene very well, can talk to the locals, and set out to make a film around surfing specifically, but also one that highlights the women in surfing. Mm-hmm. The second director comes from more of a reality show background, knows romance, knows how to get what you want out of romance, but comes from a very, like, mainstream, exactly what you expect romance. Catherine Hegel.
I think it's Hegel.
I think it's Hegel.
Like, those kind of movies. And they joined forces for this film. Then they created a shot list, divided them up evenly, and did not talk again. And so you get a film that's, like, has these very impressive moments of surfing and beautiful scenes of rolling waves and kind of has this element of being cool and going for this very, like, nonchalant vibe letting the actors kind of improv their scenes and, like, they know A to B. How they get there is up to the actors themselves.
So this would include, like, all of the scenes with the women in the car driving around or just at home hanging out. And okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I agree.
And then the second director comes in for their scenes and very specifically plans out every single moment to try and get the romance out of it. So you have the quarterback running around his hotel suite, cleaning up all the clothes and things like that. And then you have that, like, sweet kiss. And those two elements and, like, those two scenes oftentimes are at odds with each other.
Yeah.
And so it ends up creating a film that, when it focuses on the surfing, it's very impressive and very, like, powerful, and there's something there. And then as soon as it heads over to the romance, it feels very fake and
a bit of a snooze fest.
A little bit at times.
Fortunately, I felt like the split wasn't 50-50 between the two directors.
Yes.
It felt more like 60-40 to me, or maybe even closer to 70-30.
Yeah.
Like, the romance really was not a big part of the movie. To me, the movie was more about this woman overcoming fear and overcoming a previous hardship and being able to take on this wave and this competition. And there's a really great scene where she talks about how badly she wants to see a woman on the cover of Surf magazine, and she doesn't care if it's her, she just wants it to be a woman.
And it's such a great scene.
And it's really passionate, she's very direct, and she knows that that's what she wants.
She says exactly what she wants.
Yeah, and I love the friendship and the support that she gets from her other friends.
Yeah.
And there's all these scenes, like Ben was talking about, where it feels very unscripted, and they genuinely seem to be having a great time together, just being young and in Hawaii. And it seems, it felt, those friendships to me felt authentic when I watched this movie like 10 years ago, and they feel authentic now.
Yeah, like thinking about the romance itself, it
didn't even need to be in the movie.
No, but if they wanted to go that angle, like whether it was to pull in other viewers that didn't necessarily have that surfing or sports component that drew them in, they still wanted to have that romance angle. I would say take a look at how Magic Mike, the original one, did it, in which all of those scenes feel very off the cuff. And I think the director of Magic Mike, Steven Soderbergh, did a wonderful job of like making them feel very real in a weird way. Like Channing Tatum's there just playing it off real cool and like trying to impress this girl at times. And the girl is doing a wonderful job of like playing it cool. And there's a sincerity there and a realness there that I wish they had gotten in this film. And I think that would have like pulled this entire film a little tighter and ultimately make the transition to...
That's a really great comparison, too.
Yeah,
that's a great comparison. And you actually, Andre, had a third director. We've been talking about this movie like it's split between two, but somehow you found a third.
Yeah, I think every once in a while, and I don't think this guy was, I don't think he's going to show up in the call sheet as a director.
Okay.
I think another director.
Is it definitely a guy?
In my mind, I'm picturing that it is a guy.
Okay.
And
is that, wait, can you describe him a little bit more? You seem like
he
you're like
always has shades on.
Okay.
But not all the way. This guy likes to pull his shades down when he looks at people. And every once in a while, one of the other directors will be shooting a scene. And this guy, I don't think he's a director. I don't know what his actual title is. I think he's like gaffer number two.
Okay.
And he's like, hold on. You know what would be good here? Is if he pulled his glasses down and looked at the other character.
They did that twice.
Three times.
Okay.
Although two of them were in one scene.
I think it was probably a producer then, because they had to have the weight to like be that person that could be like, whoa, stop, and people would actually listen.
Because no one listens to a second gaffer.
I think you're describing a producer.
No. Most people don't know what he is.
And most second gaffers aren't going to like speak up in this moment. They're waiting for their shot.
Yeah.
They're waiting to take their shot.
Yeah. Do gaffers, are they in charge of, like, the boom mics? Because I don't think they had those in this movie. I think they had mics attached to the camera.
Yeah, Andre, you had a real problem with the audio.
Audio, and I understand.
And we had a relatively serious talk about the audio that, like, spanned for maybe 5 minutes.
Well,
I had a point.
I understand the difficulty.
I don't even think we need to rehash
that. I understand the difficulty in filming this movie. In that everyone was in the water constantly and swimming around, and it's probably very hard to attach mics to people.
Okay, so
we are
rehashing
it then.
It's probably hard
to get a boom mic out in the ocean, but the audio was so poorly mixed and it was so hard to tell what people were saying.
Yeah.
It really felt like watching a home video where the loudest sounds are the things closest to the camera, not the people who are talking.
Honestly, it didn't bother me that much. Yeah. It felt like a choice for the film.
It really took me out of the movie.
It is...
Like, there's a moment there where it, like, becomes more of, like, an extreme sports video, and, like, audio isn't the important thing. It's like the scenes and, like, the aesthetic it presents and goes forward.
And they had
an audiophile like me, I definitely noticed that.
Okay, so the reviews are in. If you're an audiophile, this movie may
stay
be
away.
Troubling.
Stay away. This movie is going to be hard to watch. Okay. Or even harder to listen to.
Going back to the romance, though, one of the issues that we had with it was that the guy, I think his name was Matt?
I don't
even remember his name.
He is
so forgettable.
Which maybe is good.
We all really, really didn't like him. And so... my challenge to you is, who would you have cast as Matt if casting director? I'll tell you mine, but I'm going to go last because when I thought of who I wanted, it spun off into a whole thing. So I don't want to go there quite yet.
I could see Zac Efron doing it because he's quick to sign up for a beach movie, a summer movie.
Yep.
Wait, who was that?
Zac Efron.
Okay.
He would have been 12. Yeah.
I could see Channing Tatum because he actually looks like a football player.
And he would have been a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the first two people who come to mind. Like, I think Zac Efron would definitely take the role. I think Channing Tatum would definitely be, like, high up on the casting director's wish list. I don't know who they'd actually be able to get.
I could see Charlie Hunnan. It was in Vikings.
Oh, the main character?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I could see him.
I could see him. I mean, maybe he's like a little bit more of a rugby guy, but I could see, like, he has that little bit of
He looks like he could be a Peyton.
Yeah. Yeah. Or,
yeah, he looks like a footballer.
Yeah, a little bit of a
footballer.
Full footballer. Garrett Hedlund?
John of a blank over here.
He was in Tron. Not a good actor.
Oh, wait. Was that, like, he was in Tron and that was his only movie? That guy.
He was in Pan as well.
We should watch Tron at some point.
The old one or the new one?
I desperately want to.
The new one.
The new one.
The old one is hard to get through.
Yeah.
But the new one, up until the last half of that film is great.
So I'll be honest. I think I've told you guys before. I don't remember it. And I have watched it, and for some reason, I went to the midnight premiere with my good friend Eric Peterson, and I think we both fell asleep, but I definitely fell asleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I specifically remember that we were in the 12:01 line, and the people in the 12 o'clock line were so cocky about it.
What a thing to be cocky over.
Yeah, like they...
We're seeing it first. And this is the West Coast, so realistically, you're seeing it last.
No, but literally, their line started moving, and some guy started yelling at us, like, yeah, we're gonna see it first! Like, literally, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I would love for them to have started the films actually at the same time. There's no way they would know.
I'm sure they did. They made that distinction so you would know what line to get into.
It was so ridiculous.
That's probably true.
Yeah. No, it definitely is.
All right, well...
Anyway, I would enjoy rewatching it because the only thing I really remember is the beginning and then the scene where Daft Punk is like actually in the film playing a song.
Like 1 second that they're in it.
Yes, I remember that though.
I remember that.
Because I love Daft Punk.
Yeah. Also, like, not to say that the quarterback needs to be a white dude, but like also the quarterback in this film needs to be basic enough.
Yeah, he does.
To where
like, he can't be...
Being a white dude fits the aesthetic.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Like, he's not the main part of the story. He doesn't need to be... Yeah.
And, like, to his credit, he sets up a great moment where he asks Anne-Marie, well, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah. But that's about it.
Other than that, he's just, like...
He existed... To be a distraction.
A blur for the main character. In the course of this entire film.
I'll tell you who I wanted it to be.
Oh, yes. Sorry. We didn't go back to you.
Oh, I wasn't going to let that slide. Don't worry. I have a whole thing planned. So, as I said earlier, like one of the reasons that I got really excited about rewatching this film was because Michelle Rodriguez is in it, and I wanted to see how this could fit into her backstory as Letty.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought... When I thought of the idea of asking you guys who you thought that guy should be, in my head it clicked that it should definitely be Paul Walker.
Oh.
Huh.
And that Mia should definitely be Anne-Marie.
Okay.
And...
I don't know how this works anymore.
Maybe losing
Keep
us.
Telling me. Yeah, keep going. You got something
here. That's
you
got where something. That's actually where it ended. Oh. I was hoping you guys could help me fill in the rest.
So but then why do they not recognize each other?
Oh, no, no, I'm imagining this is, like, I don't know, it happens, let's see, it might happen between 1 and 2.
So it's like a coming back together of some sort?
Or maybe between like 1 and 4? Yeah, it happens after 1.
Okay.
But like the Fast and Furious crew is in Hawaii.
But where's Vin?
I don't know. That's what I want to figure out.
He's off with Charlize Theron being a bad guy.
No, not yet. It's not that far. I don't think it's that far in. Paul
Walker's already driven off into the
yeah,
sunset.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And we still have Paul Walker in this, so this is pre-7. Sorry okay. if that's a spoiler, guys, but, I mean, really, you should keep up on the news.
All right. That's yeah. an interesting idea.
I guess I just don't, well, I just don't know why they never...
Like, if this were a movie that, like, I want to break out a little bit, like, Blue Crush, think of it more as, like, a concept and less of, like, we have to follow the exact plot line.
Yeah. yeah.
And think of it more like if this Fast and the Furious took place in Hawaii with jet skis instead of cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would be who? All right. Like, I think in this movie there was a group of, like... island guys that kind of play an antagonist.
We have
like
Giselle kinda... in there. Giselle probably Giselle plays could be Lena.
It. Yep, she could be Lena for sure.
I know. Those two, the football players would definitely be Roman and Tej.
Oh, yes. I was thinking the...
They're the comedic relief.
Yeah.
But there's also the... I forget their name. But I think they're Cuban...
Oh, those guys?
Oh, the guys who...
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Those guys who,
like, show up once every 3 movies.
Yeah. No, there was a reason why they left after... They left after 5, I think.
Yeah.
And I think they had a reason. Uh-huh. I think it's because they were just like, you know what, we're even or something. Like, we've raced enough cars.
Yeah.
I always really like when they're on screen and they're a lot of fun and they have, like, a good... Oh, so it was Tego and Rico Santos.
Yeah. They would be good in that role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? So you were saying Paul Walker is Matt.
Yes.
That makes Mia Anne-Marie.
Correct.
Where does Vin Diesel fit in?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is he doing his own thing?
I think he's off with... I think he's fraternizing with the enemy. I think this is between 7 and 8.
That's interesting.
Oh, you know what? That might work, actually, because...
Paul Walker stopped driving, and he picked up...
And so they decided, hey, like, we just finished this big, like, event. Let's just, like, go chill in Hawaii for a sec.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so we didn't see, like, Paul Walker and his kid, but they were definitely there. All
right.
And while they were there, Mia gets, like, really into surfing.
Yeah.
And so they help her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me posit another theory here.
Okay.
So after, or during the course of Fast and the Furious, in which... Letty loses her memory.
Mm.
And is eventually picked up by Owen Shaw.
Yes.
So I'm imagining here that Letty doesn't have a lot of her memories, but he has enough to.
She has her muscle memories.
She remembers how to surf.
She can still shred on a...
Exactly. So she knows how to work machinery. Mm-hmm. She knows how to work in a shop and like sand some paint off of a board or to smooth it out. So actually Owen Shaw in the background is kind of like feeding her with like enough money and like saying, "Hey, go to Hawaii, find your new self a little bit and like find a personality and someone you can kind of mold yourself around."
Okay.
And then Owen Shaw eventually pulls her back into his fold, leading to the events of Fast and the Furious 6.
So Blue Crush is almost a Tokyo Drift. It's another Tokyo Drift in a way. Like, it happens out of sequence.
Yes.
In terms of when the movie came out and when the other movies came out in, like, our years.
Yes.
Yeah. But
it fills in what is happening to Letty... While during the events of Fast 5 and Fast and Furious.
You guys, I cannot wait to watch these movies. I am so excited.
Me too.
It's really nice. And for those listening, we will have a Fast Week podcast for you. They will be a little shorter, but we're gonna be
Fast and Furious.
We always have thoughts.
Yeah. But we're going to watch every single Fast and Furious movie, including the shorts. I would like to watch the shorts as well.
There's some good ones.
Los Bandoleros. And I can't remember the other one, but... It's not as good because it wasn't directed by
The one where Paul Walker races for pink slips across our great country.
That is correct. And that one.
My memory of that is just the entirety of that is two scenes overlaid on each other.
Yeah.
During the
it's also a silent film.
Yes. And a map it's with a dot film. Moving across it. There
is
that too.
Yeah, also like one thing I dislike about that.
Yeah.
Is that Paul Walker, I think, flirts with other women and like gets with other women during the course of that short. And in my mind, that feels like.
I don't think he does. She helps. There's a waitress that helps him out.
So she just helps him out?
It felt more friendly, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Anything, it felt more like an acknowledgement that, like, we're both good-looking people. Let's help each other out. Like, it didn't feel betrayal of Mia.
That's what it's like being an attractive person.
When you're Paul Walker and you have those blue eyes, that's a thing.
They're people, piercing.
Yeah, they're piercing. Oh, yeah.
Piercing blues.
It hurts.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to pay attention to, like, different characters. Because we've all seen these films more than once or more than twice, probably, each.
Some of them I've only seen once.
Yeah.
Same. Okay.
Many of them I've only seen once, actually.
I've only seen 1 and 7 more than once.
I've seen 1, 3, 5. All right, I've seen all of them more than once. But the ones I've seen most are probably 1, 3, and 5.
The odd numbers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Except but you stop 7. At 7. Well, I think 7 is more recent in my mind, so I haven't had the want to rewatch it.
Yeah.
But I've seen it.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that kind of wraps up our talk on Blue Crush. I don't think we have much more.
Oh, I did have a question. the title, is it really just like a big wave is called a Blue Crush? Like,
oh, God, you're right. They don't really reference the title at all.
I thought it would make sense like 2/3 of the way through.
I think it does 2 things.
Yeah.
It references like a crush that isn't an easy crush to love because it creates a conflict in your mind versus kind of what you want and versus what you think you want. And so I imagine that's part of the blue crush part of it. But I think it's also just a wave.
And it's also like crushing it. Like by the end, she does crush it. And the ocean's blue. Blue crush. It makes sense. Okay.
And I do like...
I don't think you have to think about it too hard.
Sorry,
that's probably the issue.
Another thought. I do like how they give her her moment, but also they don't need to have her win the whole event to have that moment count.
It's totally... Really like they stick with the theme that it's more about her overcoming her fears and her own... Like
and also the support of the women around her.
Exactly.
Because the other surfer being like, hey, I'm going to help you. You have the talent. You're here.
Yeah, there's a lot of great women in this movie.
Yes, there is.
I have to say, I was...
there's a whole section we could write about
that. Totally. And I was... Whenever I suggest movies for the blog where I know that I've seen them in the past and really like them...
Yeah.
The moment we sit down to watch, I always get very anxious because I start to worry that I'm not... That I will be watching it with a more discerning eye now and I will not be able to enjoy them.
Yeah.
And I have to say that this movie... really held up for me in a way that movies like Mean Girls and I'm blanking out. That one comes to mind as being the most obvious one because I have such fond memories of that when I was younger and it just failed us pretty miserably the last time we watched it.
I would not go back and watch that.
No, I wouldn't either. And it was really great for this movie to hold up and I enjoyed watching it with you guys.
Cool. Yeah, I mean... I think I'm ultimately coming away from it with a positive viewpoint. Like, I had a good time with it. It wasn't a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, and, like, it has its flaws. But I think overall I'm generally positive on the film.
It was entertaining. It was adrenaline rush.
I think Andre really got hung up on the audio. He did.
That was hard. That was hard to watch.
Every time Ben and I were, like, having a moment with the film, we were just like, you would just, you know, she's a great character, but not great enough that they would give her a mic.
Yeah. Like, I remember the one you're talking about. It's like, one character's mic'd and the other one isn't. And it's like, really?
But it's also, like, a scene where this other, like, pro surfer woman is, helping Anne-Marie. Yeah. It's, like, a really great moment. And you're just like, ugh, and she doesn't have a mic.
She could have been talking shit. I don't know. It was hard to hear.
There were some choices in that film.
Yeah. There were some choices. Anyway.
I think there were 2 mics. So, maybe one. One character could have a mic at
the time. It was a small budget.
Yeah.
or at least I'm assuming it's a small budget.
Yeah, I would assume say that too.
Yeah.
Let me see real quick.
Budget check.
Anyone want to take some guesses?
I think Billabong gave them $2,000 to make the movie.
Wait, what if this whole movie was just sponsored by surf brands?
Well, Billabong was mentioned. It was
like
Billabong.
She was wearing a Billabong shirt. Wow. Okay. Budget $30 million.
Wow.
That's not very much.
It's not a lot.
But think about the equipment they would need for this. Like, it would all have to be waterproof. Yeah. They would need a very specific variety of cinematographers for it. Yeah.
And at least made its budget back, which is great.
Good.
Yeah. Good on it.
Good on Blue Crush.
Yeah. Right. That wraps up our talk on Blue Crush. I got one quick little... We all watch Monster Factory here, right?
We've seen a few.
Yeah, I've seen a couple.
Okay. Yeah.
I think, actually, I might have only seen one.
The one with the rock?
Yeah, the one with the rock. But I know what it is.
The pebble. The rock's good. So I have at monfactory_bot, which is a Twitter account that just tweets out quotes from Monster Factory.
Hmm.
It's a great Twitter account.
And, how does it do that?
Suggestions from the audience, and then it ultimately just aggregates and tweets out one an hour.
This is definitely a Griffin quote in that...
Wait,
you're ruining Ben's thing.
Sorry, go for it. I didn't know what your thing is yet.
What I'm going to have each of us do is scroll down through this list, pick one, and deliver it as either Griffin or Justin Wood. How's that sound?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Because we are, I know for a fact we are all great impersonators here. Yeah. I say that dripping with facetiousness.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
wow. That is.
I would say Andre's probably the best impersonator here.
Oh, Leanna, God. I don't know if I can do Griffin or Justin.
Leanna, I'm not going to make any judgments on you. I know I'm not a good impersonator, but I think this is going to be.
I might have
a fun little.
Okay,
bit.
I've got one.
Some really good.
All right.
There's some really good quotes in there.
Okay.
Who wants to go first? Leanna?
Me.
Okay. Hit me.
Deliver everything you can.
Okay.
Channel.
I fucking love this look, but I'm confused and scared by the look, and I'm worried about the look.
That's good.
I was hoping you'd choose that one.
Oh, really?
That one's really good.
All right. I think I have mine. Brock Lesnar does this fun thing after he beats somebody. He unhinges his jaw and swallows them.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
That was very good.
All right, here's mine. It's me, William Wright, game designer, and I'd like to show you me beautiful spores.
I want to watch the spore one. I haven't watched it yet.
The spore one's really good.
I want to watch Monster Factory now.
Okay, I could do this one too. Maybe I can't. All right.
Let's hear it.
We've made ourselves a little McDonald's playplace of boys.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay.
It's like a gashapon, only it's a guy's face.
I just don't think I know the other person on Monster Factory as well as I know Griffin. Like,
Justin?
I listen to...
It's Justin.
His brother?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Monster Factory has turned into like a... Like, perfect, I've known about it for a long time, but, like, perfect for 2017.
Yeah.
Me finding it and just turning on something and just, like, listening to them riff between each other.
Mm-hmm.
They have good chemistry.
And it's become the perfect kind of, like, let me just enjoy this.
You gotta listen to their podcasts.
I know,
man. They're so good.
Especially Rose Buddies. That's what really made me fall in love with Griffin.
Well, they have so many podcasts.
The McElroy family of products are pretty extensive. So
yeah, they are.
I've heard some of
Adventure Zone.
But if you get into Adventure Rose Zone Buddies, too. You can watch it with me and Abby and Signe.
You are completely right.
My podcast queue is like 65%
McElroy's.
Yeah, McElroy is someone.
Yes. All right. Well,
yeah.
That will wrap it up for this week. We watched Blue Crush. It was good.
It was good. It was fine.
Not much more to say than it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
I think good.
It's not great, but it was good.
Yeah.
I think we all had we came out of it still feeling positive. Like, there are definitely movies that we have come out of feeling down and negative and unhappy, and this movie wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I think it did a really good job of filming like actual surfing and surf stunts. And I think they did a great job at making you appreciate the hard work that audio engineers and sound mixers do for other movies.
Always comes back to that. Always comes back to that.
But to your point about hard work, I was reading a little bit on Wikipedia about this, and most of the scenes of just general people surfing were real people surfing, including this glorious shot of a guy surfing with his dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was good.
Yeah, and they use a lot of locals in the film as well, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
That's a cool choice to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're obviously making a movie about surfing, and they didn't just throw in a bunch of random people from Hollywood. They actually chose to have people who are professionals and who do that in Hawaii. It was very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, not a totally great film, but still fun to watch. I had a good time. Thank you for watching with me. Finally letting me have this.
No, I've been wanting to watch this film as well. Like,
it
pops up on Tumblr oddly enough every so often. Huh. And so I'm glad we watched it. But yeah, we are Munch. We are on Twitter, which is at Get Munched Up. We are on Instagram, which is Get Munched Up. We are on Pinterest, which is Get Munched Up. We are on Facebook now. That's a new one, which is Get Munched Up. Thank you to Shelby Robb for our theme music. Also, please rate and subscribe us on iTunes. That is very helpful. And we would love to answer any questions, comments, or thoughts that you may have.
Or suggestions about what hot food debate we should weigh in on next.
Yes.
We've got opinions.
We would love to respond to user emails, and you can send that to getmunchedup@gmail.com. And finally, our website, which is getmunchedup.com, we post our content regularly there, which includes a lot of the photography that we put a lot of time into, as well as our posts that we also spend a lot of time writing and kind of editing and perfecting. So please check out the content there as well.
Ben, you just nailed every single one.
I
know,
I felt really good about that.
Good job.
This is my first time.
That was so good.
It only took 14 episodes or so.
I'm so proud.
And yeah, have a good day.